QSC, QSC, QSC. This is Tom Fry, KF6Q. Net control for the Tech Tuesday net at 1900 hours local time on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater. 147.330 megahertz, offset of 600 kilohertz in a PL of 131.8. This net is conducted every Tuesday at 1900 hours, conditions permitting. This repeater is solely owned, operated, and maintained by the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club. We wish to thank the BBARC for the use of the repeater for this net. The purpose of this net is to provide and promote technical knowledge, education, and information of amateur radio, a gateway to spark interest in various aspects of amateur radio communications. Before I begin, is there any emergency or priority traffic? Please call KF6Q. Hearing none, are there any bulletins or announcements for the net? Please call KF6Q. All right, one announcement. Of course, we have the event coming up this Thursday at Flea Bob Airport with Clint Bradford and communications with the ISS. I'm not sure if Clint's going to be able to be with us tonight, but we do have a lot of information on that, so we'll be covering that first. After that, we also will be reviewing a couple more of the most recent solar storms in this last week, actually stronger than anything else we've had so far. So stay tuned. All right, now I will now call our roster, starting with WB6CLZ, Mike.
Good evening, Tom, and everyone on the net. This is WB6CLZ down in Placentia.
Okay, Mike, glad to have you out there. Is WB6CIN handy this week?
Good afternoon, Tom. This is WB6CIN.
All right, Cindy, glad to have you out there. It's amazing when the sun starts staying up later. It's no longer evening, it's afternoon still. I love this weather. How about KA6CIA, George?
Good evening, KA6CIA.
All right, George, glad to have you out there. Moving on down here, KJ6HCS, Mike.
Evening, Tom, and that KJ6HCS.
Glad to have you out there, Mike, and we'll get a courtesy here for your dad, K6EKX. See, do we have WA6ITC, Rod? Are you out there?
Yeah, Lake Williams awake, WA6ITC.
Hey, good evening, afternoon, and whatever applies there, depending where the sun is. Glad to have you with us, Rod. KJ6FIL, Mike in Redlands.
Good evening, all. KJ6FIL.
All right, good evening there, Mike, and thanks for being with us. How about KJ6KDL, Jim? And nothing heard. How about KJ6KDK, Rosemary?
KJ6KDK here.
Don't tell me Jim's tied up at work. hopefully not literally there, though. All right. Thanks for being out there, Rosemary. And let's see. Moving on down here, we have KI6IQA. Kelly.
Good evening. KI6IQA. Mobile, Barstow.
All right, Kelly. Thanks a bunch for checking in out there from Barstow. Move out there always. Have a safe trip if you're on your way back. Next on the list is K6GBL, Ron, Green Valley. And nothing heard. How about N6BOP, Ann from Pomona? Nothing heard there. How about AD6PL, Harold from Riverside?
Evening, AD6PL.
All right, good evening there, Harold, and thanks for being with us. Appreciate you checking in. K6LCS, Clint from Harupa Valley, are you out there?
We are high as a kite, or high as an International Space Station here in Aruba Valley, K6LCS.
All right, Clint, really glad to have you out there. Hey, you made the newspaper. Well, our club newspaper. That's important. You should be getting that tomorrow. Next on the list is W6JLM, Judith.
Good evening, Tom, and everyone on the net. This is W6JLM. I was sorry that BLP Ann did not check in tonight. I think I heard yesterday that today is her 90th birthday. So, Ann, if you're out there listening, congratulations and happy birthday. This is W6JLM.
Ah, good deal there, Judith. Yeah, I wished her an early one yesterday, but one more time there, Ann, happy birthday. From all of us out here on the Tech Tuesday net. let's see, next on the list, W6KMM Kenneth.
Good evening, Tom, and everyone on the net. This is W6KMM.
Right, Ken, glad to have you out there. How about KJ6PYV, Dave?
Good evening, Tom, and everyone on the net. This is KJ6PYV. Check it in.
Hey, Dave, glad to have you out there in Sugarloaf, Southern Sugarloaf. All right, upper side of the Southern Sugarloaf. How about K6YNW, Chris? Nothing heard. How about W6POO, Chip? Still out there?
Still here, and good to be here in class. No traffic, W6POO here.
All right, Chip, glad to have you out there. How about KD6LEN, Bill? And nothing heard. AE6CK, Victor.
Good evening, Tom, and everybody on the net. This is Victor, Santa Fe Springs, and I'm wondering if we still have a snow or is melted already, Tom, over.
Well, I got to tell you, Victor, if you're looking forward to seeing it, it's too late. It's just about all gone. I've never seen a foot and a half disappear so fast. A little bit left, but I think after tomorrow, going to be all dirt and grass. Anyway, let's move on down here. KA6ROD, Rod.
Good evening, everyone. KA6ROD.
All right, Rod, glad to have you out there. And how about KB6LTY, Christy?
KB6LTY.
All right, Christy, glad to have you with us this evening. That pretty much is most of the list. Any other guests out there would like to check in, please come back to KF6Q.
K9AOG, Stephen in Long Beach.
AD6UP, Louis near East LA.
WB6ZDC in Sugarloaf.
All right, well, Bob, we got you ZDZ, we'll just call you Tail End Bob up here from Sugarloaf. Glad to have you with us. East LA, thanks for checking in. You're hitting the repeater really solid. And K9AOG, Stephen from Long Beach, solid also. I thought I wrote your name down here, sorry. I thought I had you on the permanent list here. Sorry, Steve. Anybody else out there?
GBV.
All right, glad to have you with us. Anybody else? All right, anybody can check in at any point in time. Questions or comments, always welcome. Mike, real quick, basic solar report and what's happening out there with DX, anything at all?
We won't talk much about it. DX, as usual, seems to be a broken record anymore. Combination of not very much time to get out there and play around and not much out there, at least on this end. Okay, well, Space Weather tonight is reporting a sunspot number of 86 and a solar flux index of 108. But I believe that's going up a little bit because there's a little bit of a disparity. QRZ on their site is reporting a sunspot number of 86 with a solar flux unit of 100 and a solar flux index, I'm sorry, of 113 solar flux units. So That's what we really look for, and it looks like it may be going up a bit. Also, we're going to throw in a new number. It's the MUF. QRZ on their website has that, and MUF stands for Maximum Usable Frequency. And right now in Boulder, Colorado, which is the only thing we get out here west, we have an MUF of 21.7. So 21.7 megahertz is supposedly the maximum usable frequency that you can count on for communication. So we'll throw that in there. And like I say, DX for me, pretty much non-existent right now. Hopefully things will pick up and we'll have a little more time to take care of that. Back to you, Tom, KF6Q. This is WB6CLZ.
All right, Mike, with the MUF getting up there, that's getting at or real close to 12-meter band. Is that correct?
12 meters is runs 24,890 on the CW portion to 21,990 at the end of the phone band. So it's a little bit high. I didn't check. It's been getting up around 25 megahertz. Not up near 10 meters, which is about 28 to 29, but high enough to where 12 meters is fun to play around. Actually, it's pretty good and solid on 15 meters. I haven't tuned up and listened, but we should be able to do communications on 15 meters at this time. Back to you, Tom.
Okay, good deal. Moving in that direction, though, if it continues, 12 would open, possibly 10 again. Very good thing. MUF gives you a good idea of basically which bands you're going to be able to get out on. So, Mike, appreciate that. Well, you know what? I just can't hold myself back anymore. This is so exciting and incredible coming up, and we're 2 days away from this, actually less than that, less than 48 hours away. Clint, got a whole bunch of information up here just in case you weren't able to make it. Just fill us in anything else that's new other than just all kinds of fun and hopefully no chaos. K6LCS to you from KF6Q in the net.
Well, Tech Tuesday, Tom in the net, good evening. Our kids at Playbob Preparatory Academy, a charter school here in Harupa Valley, are geared up, we're ready to go. We had a dress rehearsal last week, and Thursday morning, 9 o'clock, we're shutting the doors, and we have about 40 minutes of a couple talks and some wonderful videos that NASA has sent us to show, and then it's about 20 minutes before 10:03, at about 9:43, it goes silent. Break for a second. It'll go silent because we're going to establish phone communications, telephone communications with a station in Italy who'll be doing the actual amateur radio work for us, a fellow ARISS, amateur radio aboard the ISS volunteer, and we're going to make it happen. The kids are going to ask their questions. We might have as many as 12 minutes with flight engineer Pettit aboard the International Space Station. Break for a second. If you're in the Riverside, greater Riverside area and want to be there, please be there before 8:45 because at 8:45, 100 students are going to be coming in from the school. We only have 150 chairs, so it will be standing room only. But if you want a good seat, get there at 8:30 or come earlier and have breakfast at the Playbob Airport Cafe. It's been about 13 months in the making, Tom, almost 3,000 emails, several teleconferences with Houston, Johnson Space Center in Houston, a bunch of volunteers. It's just been exciting, 13 months, to make this all happen Thursday morning at 10 o'clock here in Harupa Valley. And again, most of us are volunteers on the ARISS project. It's a joint venture between NASA, AMSAT, the ARRL. Carl Gardenius has been extremely helpful for us. Gordon West has helped us. Bob Heil has supplied some equipment for us. Folks not just here in the Harupa Valley have been wanting these kids, sight unseen, just want these kids to succeed Thursday morning. Tom, any questions or anything I missed? Go ahead, K6LCS.
Well, Clint, yeah, I got a few here, and then, of course, we'll hand it over to all our listeners out there in case there's a few others. Just as a refresher to all those listening in now, this communications is on the 2-meter band, is that correct?
Hear the frequencies we're using are not generally publicized.
and the sheet that I have with them is actually confidential, not secret, but just not well publicized. We just don't, you know, when you think about it, Tom, there's only three entities on the planet that can schedule time, radio time, with the ISS. That's the governments involved, the Departments of Defense involved, and amateur radio through these coordinated contacts. So we really don't want to waste their time with having some inadvertent interference happening. But yes, to answer your question, yes, it is on a 2-meter band.
Yeah, I just meant that in general, not specifics. And just a quick question, and I would hope they would, but if they're not, I guess they're not, but they should. Have they ever put any of these live on NASA TV?
Last week, NASA had a conversation with a middle school in Texas that was live with three different astronauts. The ARIS projects are usually not very many of them are webcast. It's a political thing, Tom. If I were to publicize on my website, you know, listen, go to Ustream and watch this, the major media might not be as, their curiosity might not be as piqued. I honestly, goodness, just 15 minutes ago, got off the telephone with KNBC, the assignment editor there, and so no, this was not being webcast. It's being professionally recorded on video. It will be available on Echolink, on the AMSAT conference, and it's going out on the IRLP. And that information, that note number, I've forgotten, Tom. It's on my website. It's on our website at ISS-Flabob.com. That's ISS, the International Space Station, then a hyphen, Flabob, FLABOB.com. You can see what the IRL knows. It'll be on Thursday morning.
Well, that's fantastic. Well, it's good that at least the awareness level is up, and that's got to be an incredible event with all the kids coming in there. Great adventure of two parts, basically. Number one, communicating with the ISS, that's pretty awesome in itself, and basically a rarity. I mean, that's just something that you just can't do, period, unless it's scheduled. The other thing with these kids, excellent introduction to amateur radio into this generation and this millennia, the beginning of this millennia. Amateur radio is still out there and touching out into space. Fantastic, Clint, and I think we all appreciate what you're doing. It's a great, great effort to get the kids interested in this, and what a way to do it. Clint, I'm going to turn this over real quick. Are there anybody else out there with any questions? Please come back to KF6Q or Clint.
K6BB.
Please show up. Please show up early for a seat. Can't show up to listen to us on Echolink or the IRLP. And I'll have a visual for you. Bob Heil and Gordon West are going to broadcast a 15-minute video that we'll be making of this project on a upcoming Ham Nation in the next couple of weeks. So you haven't heard the rest of us yet. The website is also being used. The audience is being told that if you want to learn more about this or amateur radio, we're going to have a citation page up for them. To better publicize amateur radio and AMSAT, ARRL, and NASA. So it's also been proclaimed officially Arupa Valley Space Week by our new mayor. It just gets better and better, Tom. Casey Celsius.
Okay, Clint. Well, you must be in an area there where it's a little hard to get in the repeater, kind of dropping in a little bit. We're all copying all of it, though. And like I said, once again, that's fantastic. Clint, we're going to go ahead and move with our solar weather. Great events happening there for this year, and they're going to continue to go in that direction. But anybody out there listening, if anybody comes up with a question for Clint at any point in time, go ahead and jump on in there, and we'll try to get that over to Clint. So, Clint, K6LCS, thank you so much for all the work you do out there with these kids. Just fantastic and great, great promotion of amateur radio. All right, Michael, the sun. We've had another couple of storms here in the last week or so.
Yes, we have. Now,
not as many as we'd like to see. Actually, I think the article that we're working from is the storms we had right around the 5th of March. We had an X5.4 and a little bit smaller one, and I think that's where we're discussing on this article. But yeah, things look like they're on the uptick, and hopefully we'll have a couple of more X-class storms and that aren't going to do us any damage, but we need to get some ionization here on the magnetosphere to get our HF and our 10-meter and maybe even 6-meter going. Back to you, Tom.
Right. Well, it's kind of like rain. Some rain is good. Maybe a little bit more is great, but a whole lot is called a flood. So, yes, well, you know, a lot of this stuff is good, but the extent and severity of that, of course, can go off the charts. We just don't want it that in that place there. Well, as we're having all this stuff happen throughout this year, we want to keep everybody up to date in that. And, yeah, that was an X5.4. Possibly I thought that was a little bit more recent, but the speed of the particles from them, I have those numbers. It's just incredibly awesome now. So when the flares do their thing, these particles are moving towards us, and how fast is that?
Pretty darn fast. The example they're given here is 1,300 miles per second on one of them and 1,100 miles per second on the other. Kind of hard to get out of the way if that thing's headed your way.
Yeah, KF6Q here with Tech Tuesday Net and the group. Yeah, and that's per second. That's not per hour. I mean, the difference hour and per second, 300 and what? 3,600 times more. It's just incredible. So that's very fast, yes. And it doesn't take that long to get here. So we're going to go through exactly the five key points about solar flares and cycles. And starting with the solar cycles, which a lot of you out there listening know all about. Mike, how often does the sun go through the phases?
It's supposed to be an 11-year cycle, plus or minus. This cycle 24 that we're in now kind of drug itself out a little bit. So we probably should be at the peak right now, but it looks like maybe we're going to peak next year sometime. So, yeah, it is an 11-year cycle on the peaks, and that's kind of a loose variation of what reality is. So, you know, that's just kind of an average.
Yeah, roger that. And I know that there's probably somebody who has a great idea of why it cycles in those cycles. I certainly don't. But and what we have is an increased number of sunspots and activity, and it'll kind of fade back and then get stronger and then fade back. And basically, these dark areas in the sun, which we call sunspots, capable of releasing a large flare in a short few minutes of time, is the energy from one of these flares, just in reference, the amount of energy, is a million times more than the energy of the largest earthquake we could even imagine or ever has happened on Earth. To me, that's just, that's a whole lot in a matter of a few minutes. So anyway, something to think about. Well, let's take a closer look at the solar flares, Mike. Solar flare by definition, what's that made up of?
Basically a burst of radiation, and it comes from the release of the magnetic energy, and they're associated with the sunspots. It's like spots where there are particles of electrons, protons, or a lot of heavier particles too, and they're accelerated out of that spot. And the reason we can see those, a lot of times you go and take a look at the sun, and the main reason that you're seeing these things is because that is the photons that they release. They release a lot of photon energy from a sunspot. So when you're actually seeing it, what you're seeing is actually the photons and not the other mass that it actually releases.
Oh, that's pretty awesome. And, you know, I think we've all at one time or another seen something like that on possibly a video or TV or a movie or whatever, and we see that huge burst traveling, not sure how high, maybe we're going to get into that in a minute here. But that solar flare can last anywhere from a few minutes to several hours, so pretty awesome. But let's move on a little bit further into that. It's down there right south of Norco. Corona is the outer of the atmosphere, and it's, what is a CME? Let's just get I'll get that out. Back to you.
See if I can do it. A CME is a coronal mass ejection. And basically what that is it's a violent reaction, and it's bubbles of gas and magnetic fields that are ejected from that sunspot. Then the interesting part is some of the larger ones contain a billion tons of matter, you know, of different kinds. And like we said before, they can be accelerated off of the sun's surface at several million miles per hour, which is pretty darn fast. And then they just go out through the interplanetary medium, and they'll impact what is ever in their path, be it a spacecraft, be it a planet, asteroid, anything. And that's where we can get some of the problems from these things.
Yeah, roger that. KF6Q here with the Tech Tuesday group. And that's why they abbreviated that to CMEs, because a lot of people can't say that. Coronal mass ejections. And billions of tons of matter accelerated at several million miles an hour. So that's obviously taking this incredible amount of energy to do that. Very spectacular. I guess it's not even close to that, but you would be possible to simulate that with a volcanic eruption on steroids to probably about the 10,000th power or whatever. I don't know. Pretty awesome, pretty awesome. Well, with all this energy and stuff coming towards the Earth, how does that affect us here when we have these solar flares?
Basically, they dump large amounts of energy and particles, and when they dump, it kind of distorts the magnetic fields, and they cause what's called a geomagnetic storm. A geomagnetic storm can go from a G1 to a G5. If you got a G5, you're in trouble. Average ones naturally would be in the middle of that range. We normally see the lower ones, and we've seen a few of the G3. I don't think we've had a G4 or a G5 from cycle 24, but looks like there's a potential for that. Don't know if we're really going to see it, but the potential is always there when you're approaching the peak of a sunspot cycle.
Okay, so when we have this, as far as the plasma and magnetic fields and stuff, part of this is made up of photons, and light travels pretty much in a straight line. So that's the part that would come straight at us if the sun's facing us. And from what I understand, though, that this plasma and magnetic field will tend to go towards us if it's directed at us, but it can still go in just about any different direction. And I believe that's the part that you were saying, it just pretty much will go through anything that's in its way. Pretty awesome. So basically, this last one we had was a G2 rated magnetic storm, is that correct?
I think that was back in March. I know we've had one recently, but it was not an X class. We haven't had an actual X class flare for several weeks to maybe 3 weeks or a month. They've been relatively minor, like M class flares. We've had some C class flares, which are below that. But it's been a few weeks at least since we've had an X class, which is a biggie. So I haven't really looked at the class of the magnetic storm, but I think they've been G1 to G2 rated storms.
Okay, roger that. Well, we have here a list of the different things that can be disrupted by all this, and of course anything out there in space are satellites, which some of those satellites are GPS satellites, so our GPS devices will be affected. If the space shuttle was still out there, or any spacecraft, and the space station. Obviously, they have protection there. But their activities, of course, they don't want to be outside when this happens. Even high-altitude airplane flights over the poles. And, Mike, do you have any others on the list there?
I think the one that concerns us most, besides long-line telephone communications and electric power distribution, is the HF radio communications. That's the one that we're very concerned about. As I think we talked about last time we got into propagation, occasionally the guys from the BBAC will be talking. We always talk on 75 meters at 3935, usually about 9 o'clock in the morning. And we've had a couple of times when we've had a pretty decent storm come through, and everything drops out. Nobody's there. Can't hear each other. Usually only happens for a couple of minutes, but it's like the radios are dead. Nothing happens. By the way, right now we are have had a B3.3 solar flare. So a lower class solar flare, but that's about where we're at right now, is in the smaller ones. We have some more, some greater and maybe a couple of potent sunspots coming around on the disk that's facing, Earth facing. But right now a 3.3 is where we're at.
Okay, well, that's not too bad, I guess. And, of course, we know that can change anytime. Well, Mike, I know that you always give us a space weather report. And what is that site one more time for everybody out there listening?
Two sites. There's spaceweather.com, and that gives basically a broad idea of what's going on. And if you want to go to QRZ.com, you'll find a lot of information. The solar terrestrial data is there, and that's updated. I want to say it's updated about every half an hour or so, but I'm not really sure on that. They give you a lot of information. They give you solar flux index. They give you the solar spot number, the A and K indexes, a lot more than we're probably going to get into on this session of our propagation. MUF, like we talked about earlier, they even give you band conditions. For example, right now they're saying that the 80 and 40 meter bands, during the daytime, 80 and 40 are fair, and at nighttime they're good. That's pretty common. 30 and 20 are both good. 17 and 15 meters are both fair, and then 12 and 10 meters are poor. They don't get into any of the VHF propagation like we're using here. They mainly stay with HF. But there are other sites that, if anybody wants to email me, I can give you sites that will get into the VHF conditions also. Back to you, Tom.
And, of course, the 10 and 12 being poor because of the fact, like you said, with the MUF, pretty much hovering around the 15 meter, possibly could make it up to the 12, and we'll see what happens. But right now, and that's a pretty good synopsis of that. So, well, good deal. Well, anyway, one of the things that we have is a really cool product of this, which is really great if you're way up north, or I guess possibly way down south by the poles, are solar lights. And this is from the solar wind that's basically the charged particles coming in from the sun. So I guess when we get a whole lot of these, we get some really fabulous looking lights. And sometimes to the point where they actually are visible a lot further south than normal. And they're always going to be visible at the poles because of the weaker magnetic forces there and the way our magnetic forces are around the Earth. Mike, have you ever seen any of these auroras when you were up? I think you were up in Alaska about a year ago. Did you have the opportunity to see any of that?
I was wishing, because that was on my bucket list, and still is. No, not really. We were in the Juneau area, and they weren't really active at the times we were up there, and we were getting snow and cloud layers. We only saw the sun about 2 days, so did not. And now it's getting a little bit too late in the season. As you know, up there in the winter, it's dark most of the time. And in the summer, it's light most of the time. So when it's light, you're not going to see any aurora or aurora borealis or northern lights. So, yeah, did not get a chance to. One of these days, we'll win the lotto. We'll hop a flight to Fairbanks in the winter and get a chance to take a look at that.
All right, well, that's pretty cool, and these lights have different colors of either being a greenish, blue, or red, or purple. I guess there's a few different types of colors that show up. Definitely showing the interaction and ionization of something that's invisible interacting to release light that we see is there, so pretty awesome event. Well, anyway, with all this happening, basically, who's out there giving us all this information? I mean, obviously, we're getting it from someplace. What are the couple of the agencies that keep an eye on this stuff all the time?
So there's a couple of that stand out more than there's quite a few that monitor, and there's a lot of hams and stuff to take care of that. But the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, hey, I got it all out. NOAA is one of them, and they have a website. You can just type in NOAA, and it'll come on Google, and you can go to their site. Or Space Weather Prediction Center, SWPC, is another one. And that's the United States official source of space weather alerts and watches and warning. And they kind of monitor that constantly and update it rapidly. Updated quite a bit. So, you know, if you check it every half an hour or so, you're probably going to get different numbers if things are active. Back to you, Tom.
You know, and I think it's very important just to mention this, that one of the reasons that we do need to monitor this is if we had people up there on the ISS and they had activities to do outside their protection area. This would be something they would definitely need to know about. I know that there were a couple of things that happened way back with the astronauts on the moon that they basically escaped any harm, but came very close. Some of this stuff is not as predictable. We have a little bit more information. We have a lot more out there that we're getting for sources, more satellites around the sun, sending us back data. Of course, we got to go drop back into 1969, 70, 71. That stuff wasn't there, so yeah, it was a lot more risky. And all these agencies also are pretty well linked in with the National Weather Service, as more than likely it's got to have a lot of effect on everything going on out there. Well, anyway, good deal. Anybody with any questions or extra comments on that, please come back. KF6Q. All right, well, hearing none, anybody else out there? I don't know if Clint's still with us. The guy's been a pretty busy guy. Anybody out there with any other questions regarding the ISS communications coming up on Thursday?
KJ6KDK.
KJ6KDK, Rosemary, go ahead.
Or maybe somebody else heard. Did I hear him say that on Thursday they're actually talking on the phone to a radio operator in Italy and then through him to the shuttle?
I think there's something involved with that. Clint, are you out there? Can you fend this question? Yeah, I'm not sure that did sound like that, but I do know that they have a lot of stuff happening right there. I'm not sure how that's all set up. Quite possibly you can send him an email, and I'm sure he could answer all your questions there. So I know at one point in time they were setting up a lot of equipment right there on site to track the ISS overhead, so I'm not sure exactly why there's an extra comm link there, but I'm sure there's a good reason for that. So, but I know they do have all the equipment there to actually track the ISS with satellite antennas, and they'll be tracking that across the sky as it passes over Southern California. So, not sure. Good question. Wish I had the answer. Anyway, anybody else out there with any other information or questions, please come back.
Tom, what was the website that they said? I got ISS- and then slaybob.com. What was the rest of it?
Basically, that's it. If you go to www.iss-playbob.com, it'll take you to the homepage, and it's a really awesome site. They've actually got a countdown timer. It's actually 1 day, 12 hours, 19 minutes, and beep, 50 seconds away. It's pretty awesome. So that's iss-playbob, F-L-A-B-O-B.com. And slash ISS-playbob if you want to get down to the nitty-gritty there. So, but anyway, that it should take you right on through.
Comment?
Yeah, Chip, go ahead.
With regard to the question as to the phone call to Italy, to the amateur radio operator in Italy, I was at the Slaybob Airport yesterday and was visiting and had a great time. But the point is, they're setting up a telco phone line, and the kids will be talking by basically making a phone call to Italy. And the amateur radio operator in Italy is going to be doing the ham part of it. We never got to the exactly why the reason is behind it, but maybe it has something to do with the position of where the satellite, the ISS will be. But I can confirm that Clint was setting up basic what looked like telephone line to make that happen.
Okay, roger that. Yeah, I think that, because I went over this with Clint, Clint has offered this, and it may happen this next year with us up here if we can get enough kids together and things like that. There are openings. A list of the equipment that we would have to have on hand, and a lot of it is basically tracking stuff. So I would imagine it has a lot to do with the time frame and scheduling, and quite possibly the opening had to be done that way with where it was going to be. I'm not sure, but I'm sure Clint will be able to answer all that stuff. So anyway, he has his own site. If you just do a Google on K6LCS, you can get to one of his sites and send him a message or a question, and I'm sure he'd be able to answer that. Anybody else out there? KF6Q.
Lancaster.
Hey, good evening. How you doing?
Good, just listening in. Good information. Anyways, let's sit back and listen a little more. KR6C.
KR6C, Chuck or Charlie. And you're reaching us all the way out from Palmdale, is that correct?
Hey, a little west, Quartz Hill, far west Lancaster.
Okay, well, good deal. Thanks for chatting up with us there. Everybody listening up, Chuck, call sign Kilo Romeo 6 Charlie. Basically, one of our newest members here with the Big Bear Ranch Radio Club, and Graham, and holding down the fort out there in Quartz Hill. Appreciate that. Anybody else out there with any questions or comments, please come back. All right, well, I'm going to send it back to Mike here just for a minute. Mike, anything else to add before we close the net? A lot of good stuff happening this week. Actually, just incredible stuff, I think, down there in Riverside area. Mike, back to you.
No, it's nice to do propagation now and then. Hopefully nobody's not bored to death with this stuff. And maybe we'll get a little late in depth as to actually what the K index and all that means, and a little more relating to ham radio than just the storms. You know what they used to say, pray for surf. Well, let's pray for propagation. Maybe we'll get some. Maybe 10 meters will open up, and we'll have some decent stuff going on here in the near future. Back to you, Tom, and great Tech Tuesday as usual. KF6Q, this is WV6CLZ.
Yeah, I actually like to break this apart because actually propagation is one thing, and there's a lot of neat things about that, a lot of science behind that, which is affected by the solar weather. But the solar weather in itself is an entity on its own, and I like to really cover that, which we did tonight. We've done in the past. I might really appreciate the help on that. That's where, like I said, you can have a little rain or a lot of rain, and then there's NOAA, and NOAA with the ark, okay? You know, so there could be a lot of solar activity, and like you said, that sometimes it just wipes out our radio communications, so we have to be careful what we wish for there. Anyway, getting ready to close the net. One last call for any questions or comments. All right, well, we'll stand by here after the net, like we always do. I do appreciate everybody out there checking in, everybody who's listened up this evening. Like I said, go to iss-flabob.com. Check that out. Pretty awesome. Great event here, Southern California. Doesn't happen every day. Doesn't happen very often whatsoever. And Quint, once again, if you're listening out there, really appreciate all the work you're doing with these kids. It's fantastic. All right, well, QST, QST, QST. This is Tom Fry, KF6Q, Net Control, for the Tech Tuesday Net, closing the net at 1,900 hours and 46 minutes, returning the repeater back to normal use. Thanks again for everybody listening, and join us again next Tuesday, 1,900 hours, right here.